Right on, Bears fans. We are still here and still breaking it down. And you know what? We got a long season to go. We got a game this Sunday versus the Denver Broncos. What'd you dub this game?
The Bay of Pigs.
Yeah, that's pretty much right. I'd say it's pretty apt.
It's probably close to being the two worst teams in the NFL right now.
Yeah, 100%.
That doesn't mean at the end of the year they're going to be the two worst teams. But currently, as we speak, it's probably the two worst teams coming off beatings, just absolute beatings the past weekend.
Yeah.
And as the NFL loves to do, somebody has to win.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have to win this game. So
if this game ends in a tie, I will strike somebody like that.
I mean, what kind of tie would it be? 0-0?
Probably a 3-3 tie, hard-fought game.
Yeah, 9-9.
Oh, God. We've had so much to get to with this team. This podcast is brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. I want to start it off here, Yerk. This is, I guess, right, like this is still, like you said, somebody's got to win. What are the keys to a Chicago Bears win over a Denver Broncos team that I think the game plan's out there on how to beat this team?
How to beat the Denver Broncos or how to beat the...
Yes, both.
How to beat the Chicago Bears. I think they both have those plans out there. Well, they gave up 326 passing and
355 rushing.
Yeah, it was up there.
Yeah.
350 and 376.
And,
376 and 350. That's what it was.
Yeah.
You get 726 yards.
Yes.
So you could beat them via the pass and the run. I guess the only way the Bears can do it is by beating them by the run.
Right.
So if the Bears are going to beat the Denver Broncos, they're going to have to do it on the ground. I would assume they're shoring things up one way or the other in Denver. You know, and the Bears, I don't worry about what Denver's going to do. I worry about what the Bears are going to do.
Yeah.
So the Bears have not been able to pressure the quarterback on a consistent level. Yannick Ngakoue hasn't been able to get to the quarterback, though he's the only guy that's somehow getting pressure on the quarterback. You don't see it coming from many other directions. So they're going to have to be able to get off the football field, get the ball back to the offense, and let the offense make things happen. So that's going to be part of the process, getting off the football field, getting off on third down. They've struggled, but, you know, the two quarterbacks, you'd have to say Russell Wilson is still a better quarterback than Justin 100%. Fields. So their advantage is there. You look at their receivers. I like their receivers better than I like Chicago's receivers. I can't tell you about the offensive line, because I don't know which offensive line is going to show up for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
Don't know who's going to play. I don't know who's not feeling good. Somebody's still sad. I mean, I don't know how it works. I just don't know who I can rely upon in the offensive line to figure out who's going to be there, who's not going to be there. You paid Cole Kmet $12.5 million. He can't catch the – I mean, he can't catch it. He can't get it.
Right.
And when he gets it, it's usually junk time. Is when they start finding him as a tight end option. It's junk time by the time they get the ball to him. So right now, I don't have a lot of faith in the offense. And I guess when you don't have faith in the offense, you hand the ball off. So we'll see how much they can run the ball and rush the ball. We'll see if they can. And you know, part of their game plan last year was to keep the ball away from the other team. That's why they're number one rushing team.
Yeah.
Justin Fields ran for 1,136 yards. And they tried to control the clock and limit the possessions and limit the opportunities the other team can have. It's not the best way to play football, but I guess if you're a crappy team, that's what you've got to do. So I'd assume that's what the Bears would do. Denver's trying to get the head coach and the quarterback on the same page offensively.
Playing the Bears often does that.
Yeah. I mean, over the course of time, you know, whether it was – in Philadelphia when he was an offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach, whether he was Dallas as an offensive coordinator, when he was in New Orleans. I mean, I think Sean Payton's got a proven track record
100%.
That, you know, he knows offense and he knows how to coach offense. So, you know, I give him the benefit of the doubt. Now it's up to the quarterback to get in tune with his guy. Cortland Sutton's a talented guy. Is Jordan Addison out there? I'm trying to remember who else is out there.
Mims Jr. is out there.
They got some talented defensive players. You lose by 50 and you become a 3.5-point favorite in Chicago, which means if this was in Denver, they'd be 6.5-point favorites.
Yeah.
And it started at 2 and got bet out to 3.5 real quick. So, I mean, you know, that's interesting stuff. But, you know, what faith do you have in the Bears right now? Until they prove it on the field, what faith do you have in the Bears?
None.
You've got right now zero faith. Yeah. So you saw the preseason. Okay. Then you got into the first game. You lost against the Green Bay team that doesn't look that great.
They look pretty bad.
They look pretty bad. And, you
and
know,
last
they
two
found
weeks,
a way to win last
love,
week.
Right, yeah.
But last night, they looked terrible. Yeah. They looked terrible. You know, so you lose to them. You lose to Tampa Bay, and you learn Baker Mayfield's not all that he's cracked up to be. Not that you didn't know that, but Tampa's probably not a pretty damn good team either.
When do we get to the point where guys stop looking amazing against us and then come back to earth immediately after?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Waiting for the Bears to break out. At some point, they got to become frustrated in that locker room at the way they're playing. I mean, they see the film. They know what the problems are. I never, you know, I'd watch the film every Monday, and you know exactly what went wrong.
Yeah.
You know exactly who to blame. But because you were part of a team, nobody individually blamed anybody. But you knew, and they knew. And if it was you that screwed up, you knew you better fix it or you're going to find your way to the bench.
Yeah.
If it was somebody else that screwed up, I knew and he knew that he needed to get better, otherwise he's going to find his way to the bench. I mean, I was there when Vinnie Clark got cut from the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they replaced him with the what was his name? Dave Thomas. Good cornerback that we had, big physical kid. Aaron Beasley came in as a third round draft choice, and he may have even replaced one of the guys. But you know, you're bringing guys in. You know, if they're not going to get the job done, they got to go.
Yeah,
and that's just the way it is. And if you can't get the job done, you got to sit on the side, and you got to bring somebody in that can do the job. That's the way the NFL is. If you can't perform the NFL standard, you can't play in the NFL. Period. That's it.
Is there, in your mind, is there a lack of worry about being benched with this team or a lack of leadership on that aspect? Because clearly what the Bears want to do is run screen passes and try to run the football.
You and I watched the NFL all week. You know what I saw work? I watched screen passes
work. Oh, they work.
Yeah, I watch wide receiver screen works.
But
I watch all types of things work all the time. So rather than look at what's being called, I look at the confidence. They got no confidence.
Well, I was going to say.
They play as a team with zero confidence.
When you see Claypool being the guy blocking and you've got EQ as a healthy scratch, there's no worry by Claypool that, I'm not going to play this week.
Well, when they have to announce 13 starters
because
you've got to play Kato, the sensibilities of your third wide receiver because he thinks he needs to be a starter. That's your major issue.
Right.
Okay. And then why do you play Kate to him? Okay. This is the way it is. Perform, and good things will happen for you. Don't perform. You can't bitch your way into being something you're not.
Mm.
Can't cry about it. You can't tell the world that you're something special. And if you don't prove it on Sundays that you're something special, if you don't prove it, it doesn't make a difference. DJ Moore is something special.
He's something special.
But you know what, though? He knows he isn't something special right now. Because he's not getting the football and he can't become something special. And ultimately, when he becomes frustrated, that's when you know there's going to be a problem. He's not there yet. You saw a sense of it a little bit, I think, but he knows that it's never good optics for your number one wide receiver to be upset because he can't get the football.
Yeah.
So I think he knows that and he realizes that. If Equanimeous St. Brown was a better wide receiver, he'd be in there.
100%.
But
he's a blocker.
He's not a better wide receiver.
Blocker. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I never had a wide receiver in my room that I'm like, I'm not worried about whether he can catch it or not. Can he block? So if he was a better player, he'd be in there.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't worry about Equanimeous St. Brown. And let me tell you, one or two is probably not the answer. And we all know why Claypool's in there.
Yeah.
Because Ryan Poles
traded
for him.
Yeah.
And he gave up the 32nd pick. It might be one of the biggest disastrous decisions he's made. It might be. Okay.
That's probably number one.
With Nate Davis right now being number
good.
Two. Right.
Look good.
Good look there's still a chance for guys to recoup. I mean, listen, if Chase Claypool lights it up this week and gets 8 receptions and next week 8 receptions, next week he can sit there and tell the whole world I told you so.
I always say, shut me up.
Right.
Like, my favorite thing in sports is when a player goes out on the field and I'm like, what do you want me to say?
Yeah.
What do you want me to say? You look good.
That's fine. So hopefully that can happen. But the performances I've got to talk about and the performances that reflect upon this team and tell me who this team are is the three crappy games that I've watched so far.
100%.
And there's nothing that I can't do. And listen, they got 2 interceptions. Great. I always say turnovers breed more turnovers. So once you get the feeling and the taste for turnovers, hopefully more things are going to happen. I don't need to point out that it didn't happen against Pitch Mahomes. Yeah. We all know it didn't happen against Mahomes, all right? But maybe everybody starts to get a little bit of a feel for this. You know, maybe everybody starts. And now I don't know who's going to play. So what are my keys when I don't even know who's going to be out there?
This is right? true.
I got a defensive backfield that looked real good and looked real promising at the beginning of the year. Gordon's gone. Jalen Johnson's going to be gone. The backup or the nickel or Brisker might be gone too. But the other guy, Josh Blackwell. Yeah, Blackwell might not be there either. I mean, those guys are doing yeoman's man work with nobody being able to get to the quarterback, and you got a defensive coordinator that refuses to do anything about it.
Here's your last injury report from Thursday. Yeah. We haven't gotten to days yet. Josh Blackwell, DNP. Eddie Jackson, DNP. Jalen Johnson, DNP. Mercedes Lewis, DNP. I think he's just they're giving him the old man day off. Tyreek Stevenson, full go.
Grandpa Lewis.
Yeah, you got full. I'm so glad that we went out and got him.
You got 29 back.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, Mercedes, the old grandpa.
I think – let me ask you this, Yerk. As a – when you look at what this Bears defense is doing, how do you fix where – let me throw these numbers at you. 35 points per game allowed.
Yeah.
407 yards allowed per game. By the way, it's 31st and 29th in the league. 285 passing yards allowed per game. That's 29th in the league. 121 rushing yards is 19th in the league. 60% third down conversion. That's 32nd in the league. How do you fix that if you're Matt Eberflus at this point? Because it looks like every week we've seen has literally just been we're going to rush four.
How many points a game were they giving up?
Points per game, 35.3.
All right.
31st in the NFL.
So I'm going to take that down to 32 because your offense has given up two touchdowns. So they give up 32 points a game.
Yeah.
Right? 14 points the offense has put on for them. So they're 32 points a game. Still way too much.
Yeah.
Still probably worse in the league. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, well, except for the Denver Broncos.
Except for the Broncos. The Broncos might be one now. 70's great. You saw that number, what was your thought?
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, I just seen it kept going up and up and up the whole game. And then, believe it or not, at one point or another, it was 38-0 in the Kansas City game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to put 76.
I thought they were. Yeah. I thought they were going to beat it. I thought they were going to break it.
But they had the penalty because the tackle doesn't know how to line up, and he's too stubborn.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to get there. Andy Reid said he's being picked on. It might be fine. But it was so obvious in the first game that they, when you overcorrect or when you take a notice of it, sure, it may have. But it was too obvious. And there's another guard out there, Lane Johnson, that gets off the ball way too early. They got to start calling that penalty, too.
Now,
I can't go back two steps before the ball's even been snapped.
What is the rule on this? Because I saw
let me ask you your question first.
Okay, go ahead.
How do you get better?
Yeah.
You got to send four guys off of one side. That can't block that. That way you're getting immediate pressure on the quarterback, and then you've got to know you've got to have tight coverage. If you're going to sit back in the zone, you're going to line guys to break free without pressuring them or without doing anything, then the quarterback is going to be able to 1-2-3 throw the ball. 1-2-3 throw the ball. And if they go 1-2-3, I don't care if a guy's not blocked. It's almost impossible to get to the quarterback. At some point, the pressure, if you blitz, and the amount of coverage or what tight coverage that you have, that eventually is going to be good for you.
Yeah.
Eventually. So that's the only suggestion I can make is you bring four off one side. That means you're going to have to maybe drop somebody and cross somebody to get to the other side. And that's fine if that's what you want to, you know, if that's what you want to do. But you're not getting pressure with what you have. And quite frankly, they're just not good enough. Now, currently, right. 4 weeks into the season,
right.
It doesn't mean Dexter and it doesn't mean that Pickens and, I mean, Jones is 93,
Justin
right?
Jones, yeah.
Billingsley.
Andrew Billings.
My guy Billingsley.
That's what Billings I call looks him. Pretty good. I'm not
Well, Billings does have to run. Yeah. He's a run guy. Yeah, He's not a pass guy. You're not putting him in there to rush the quarterback anyway. So, you know, I don't really worry about him. But the other kid you picked up, 95.
Yeah.
And whoever the other guy is that comes in, they're really not getting there. DeMarcus Walker. Yeah. What's he doing?
Yeah. Not existing.
I mean, that's bad. And then you start asking yourself, what's your guy up there looking at? What's Poles looking at when he's looking at defensive linemen?
Yeah.
He likes a certain type of guy. I like a certain type of skill, right? Not only do I like a guy, but I like a certain type of skill.
Yeah.
And the right tackle, the one we drafted, 58.
Darnell Wright.
Darnell Wright's going to be fine. I do not worry about Darnell Wright.
Okay? I like what I've seen from.
Also with Wright, I don't worry about taking him where they took him at 10. They decided to make the decision that offensive tackle was an important position for them in the first round last year's draft. Free agency had come before that.
Yeah.
They felt like they had addressed enough in the end defensive end position. They decided that Jalen Carter was too dangerous for their football
team. Right.
Okay, that's what they decided. The problem is the guys I compare, I don't compare Wright to what we, Jalen Carter, because that's what we did. I compare Pickens and Dexter.
Yes.
Because your choice was then, we're not going to grab Jalen Carter. We're going to bypass him because he's too scary of a player for our organization. So we're going to say we don't want him.
Right.
Right. But we're going to take two guys, one in the second, one in the third, and we believe we can develop those guys into players that maybe they're never going to be Jalen Carter, but the combination of the two are going to be solid veterans for us for an extended period of time. That's what Ryan Poles did.
Right.
So what Ryan Poles is trying to tell you is this: mine's a little bit more of a long game. It's not a short game. You won't have instantaneous feedback like you will with Jalen Carter. That's why I tell Bears fans, don't watch the Philadelphia Eagles play. Just don't watch it.
Yeah.
Because you'll become frustrated.
You'll be sick.
But you watch the Bears play, you'll become frustrated too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So either way, you're going to be frustrated. But those are the decisions that have been made. Now, when you're going to bring raw kids in here, you've got to have somebody that's going to be able to develop them. And that development is now through 17 weeks of the season, 17 games of the season. You get them back into the weight room here or wherever they're going to work out. They got to become much stronger. Much stronger. They're not nearly strong enough or strengthy enough, and they're young men. Young men get stronger. You physically prime at about the age of 27, 28. That's when you can usually be in your physically peak position as a young man. So that's what they need to do, and they need to get better.
Yeah.
And Dexter's path is going to be a little bit more difficult because of the defense he played. So played in college. So about 3-4 years, basically, he was being trained not to play defense.
To
watch.
Yeah.
And react. Instead of attack, react.
Is it concerning for you that that hasn't flipped yet?
No.
Because it does seem like he's still a little late off of the ball.
It doesn't concern me as long as you've got somebody there that can develop. I'm not concerned.
Yeah.
As long as you got somebody that can coach him up, you got somebody that can put him on the attack, you can somebody unleash him. And remember, it's a controlled aggressiveness because I don't want to go 10 yards upfield.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm playing initially off the ball, it's an attack, press. You know what I'm saying? Press. Even if you got to press through the man, it's an attack press. Feel what's happening and then react from there. But it's off the attack. You're playing on their side of the line of scrimmage. Too often our guys catch a little bit. And then they start running. Anytime you see a defensive lineman with his shoulders turned because he's been reached and he's worried about, oh, no, you're done. You're done. So, you know, that's a problem. I don't know how they're being taught.
Yeah.
I hated their training camp. I hate the way they practice. I think they practice terribly. And that's
the Bears reflection. In general, modern NFL.
No, Chicago Bears specifically. Because I know Tomlin doesn't train that way. Tomlin trains through you go through the ball.
Yeah.
Even if you're not bringing guys down, you're going through the ball. Now, 1, 2, 3 steps, peel off and go run. You're training guys. The minute you practice that way, that's what you're training. They don't suddenly flip the switch in a game and say, oh, yeah, we got to tackle these guys.
Yeah.
You teach these guys to get to the carrier, to form up the carrier, boom, that's done. And then peel and run and get your conditioning in.
Yeah.
I watched their inside run drill. It was pathetic. You know how many practices I watched this year when we went up there? I was there 4 times. You know how many practices I watched?
How many?
One.
You knew everything.
One full pad of practices. Well, that's all I needed to see. No, they weren't doing it the way it needs to be done.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. I don't need to waste my time. Training camp up there is a waste of time. Maybe not if you're conditioning. Maybe you're going to get in a condition. You're getting some muscular conditioning. Right. That's good.
Getting in football.
But as far as preparing yourself to play in the NFL,
how much
it's a waste of time.
How much of an indictment is that on the man that you have at the helm right now, who is a DC?
Well, ultimately, he's the guy that runs the program. Ultimately, he's the guy that dictates how the practice.
And literally the defense now.
Okay. Well, yeah, but he's the guy that controls that. Yeah. So I'm just telling you, I wouldn't do it that way. Mine's not an old school way. Okay. Mine is an effective way of practicing. I mean, we're the first guys to take the pads off down in in Green Bay. Yeah. We're one of the first teams, you know, besides San Francisco, that we had the pads off, but we practiced fast and we practiced through the ball. Okay. Now you couldn't be physical up front because you didn't want to beat the crap out of each other. Right. And we put these pseudo shoulder pads on, but you practiced fast, you practiced through the ball, right? But it was tempo, it was tempo, it was tempo. But you didn't stop short of what you were trying to do.
Yeah. When you say through the ball, what do you mean?
Basically. Oh, yeah, you got to form up on the running back.
Right.
They were doing inside run and some weird, like, pseudo.
You just kind of look at him and let him go through, and it ends up being a huge run because you didn't even hit him.
Not even threw him a run. It was 1-2, go to the ball. Like, there's no complaint. You got hand-to-hand combat on the inside, right?
Yeah.
I got hand-to-hand combat maybe for 3-4 seconds. I'm positioning my hands within my offensive lineman, put myself in a position where I'm going to be able to throw and be able to go one way or the other so I can make a play on the ball.
Right.
That never happened. It doesn't happen. And it doesn't help your offensive linemen either, who are doing the same thing, trying to neutralize the defensive lineman, trying to sit and work them through the center. That way they occupy him while the running back picks holes. And they're feeling, you know, with their hands on which way this guy wants to go, and they want to be able to counteract whatever he's going to do, whichever way they want to throw him.
Right.
That there's only one way to work on that.
Actually,
and that's
it.
By engaging each other and going through hand fighting and grappling, in essence.
Yeah.
And when I don't see any of it happening, you know, I'd see, okay, the pass rush, I'm going to do an arm over, and I'm going to do this, and a little swat-o-matic. I go, that doesn't help you against the run, though.
Yeah.
You're still going to face 30 runs during on Sunday. And if you're not going to teach your guys hand fighting, I was fortunate. I wrestled. I grappled.
Yeah.
So that was a part of everything that I always did. So I was always engaged, always trying to play with balance, always trying to get that individual off me, trying to unsettle the offensive lineman. There's no unsettling of anybody in practice. I went up there 4 times. I wasted my time on 3 of those occasions. Okay. One, I found out what was happening, what was going on, and then I said, this is a waste of time. And that's what it was. It was a waste of time. Except for conditioning, maybe skill, those guys, skill guys. But for the big guys, for the big men, absolute waste of time. Don't even put the equipment on. What are you doing?
They basically didn't.
Don't put the equipment on.
I mean, if we're
on.
Being 100% honest, they basically didn't.
I mean, what are you doing out there?
Let me ask you this, good kid, because, I mean, by the way, hit that like button, subscribe to the page. You're trying to fix the defense, ladies and gentlemen. You're trying to help it a little bit anyway.
There's no helping.
What is there to – I asked J-Mac this question. What is there to learning Jason. To win? I keep hearing this. The Bears got to
learn. All right,
learn
so here's what it is. You put yourself in position in the fourth quarter. So in the fourth quarter, you put the number 4 up in the air, right? Signifying, okay, we got to start playing perfect football. Learning how to win is playing perfect football in the fourth quarter. What does that mean? No penalties. No mental errors. You're not beating yourselves. Okay? You're securing the football.
Yeah.
Okay? So you're securing the football. You got no mental errors. Okay? You're not going to beat yourself. Okay? No penalties. That's how you start winning. Then situational football comes into play. You got the lead with 4 minutes to go. You get your 4-minute drill out there. You practiced it during the week. You know exactly what you want to do. You want to run this clock out. And we're going to run some plays that we know that are in the system that are designed not to take us to the sideline. They're going to run. We're going to do some counter stuff. We know they're going to be on the attack. They know they're going to put 8 guy in a box. Now we've got to be able to go ahead and execute our plays and be able to get a first down and then a first down. 2 first downs, all we need is 23, 24 yards, and we solidify this game and we win this game.
Yeah.
And what usually happens in that situation, they gamble so much, you end up popping a run, you end up making it in the end zone, you're 10-point winners,
right.
they get the ball back, you don't really give a rat's patootie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's playing mistake-free football, playing no penalty football, and knowing that's the time where you've got to concentrate. Nothing worse than 10 men on the field.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Notre Dame. Okay, it comes down to crunch time, and all of a sudden there's only 10 guys on the field, right? There's
I love
nothing
the
worse.
Answer.
Yeah, nothing
we felt
worse.
It was better to
right.
not send them out there.
Yeah, it worked. 12 men on the field, kill you.
Yeah.
Offensive holding. You got away with shit. You know, you got away with shit all day,
yeah.
right? Now's the time to hone the skill. Mm. He's tired. You're tired. Let's work on our technique and our fundamentals, and let's not give the referee an excuse to make a holding call. Right?
Right.
Let's not give him the excuse. Line up correctly. okay? Line up correctly, use proper technique. That's playing winning football right there. Mm. All that stuff ingrained into one, that's playing winning football. And when you have a chance to make a play, make the play.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Make the play when you got to be a defensive back, ball through the hands. That's the game right there. That's the game.
How many times?
Receiver for a key first down. Little slant over the middle. Don't go alligator arming it. Don't go, oh, no, I don't want to get my hands extended because I don't want to get my ribs cracked. Okay? That's playing winning football. How do you play winning football? Well, you see what the Bears have been doing over the course of time.
Don't do that.
Mistake, mistake, mistake. You see teams that win, and look how many mistakes they make in the fourth quarter. How many mental errors they have. They got guys just kind of whiffing on blocks.
Yeah.
They don't. They don't because they know and it's been ingrained into them in practice. Now's the time. Let's go. I've had coaches start practices over. It's too damn sloppy. We'd be 35 minutes into the practice. Brrr. One. We're back to period one. And send us back, and we'd start from the beginning. Not mentally sharp enough. You guys are making too many mistakes. You don't give a rat's ass. Don't worry. I'm going to pretend like this never happened so my mood's not bad. We're going to go and we're going to do it all over again. There you go.
Yeah.
You start concentrating then.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, your mind gets right. You're not, you know, dilly-dallying about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. You know, you're starting to concentrate a little bit more.
She was up in the box. You gotta take a peek.
Good for her.
You got to take a peek.
Good for her and good for Travis.
I that's such a great explanation.
Yeah.
Where does that start? Practice. Where does it that start practice. To the practice?
And what the expectations are for you. What are the expectations for you? The coaches set the expectations. I mean, dude, I went to film sometimes and got torn to shreds.
Yeah.
I mean, we beat New Orleans 1 year in 93. We're down there playing New Orleans. I was going up against Joel Hildenberg, Jay's brother. And at the early portion of the game, I think it was Ray Zellers or they had another running back, Mike something or another. But they rushed for like 110 yards in the first quarter, maybe the first 17 minutes. We break down the film. Our backside three's cut down. I float a little bit too quick. It was one on the nose. And then Greg goes to me, goes, I'm blaming you. I'm not blaming him. They got him. They blocked him. He goes, you're just dancing out. He goes, you got to be more stout. You got to set the point. And when it cuts and it declares itself, you got to throw and you got to come back and make the tackle. So he yelled, showed me on the pictures. He goes, you're fucking this thing up.
Yeah.
I go, don't worry about him. He goes, you're the one that's going to fuck it up because there's no way in the world he could come down and make the play. And then I tightened it up after that, and they went to that running back probably – it was Wade Wilson was the quarterback. They went to that running back probably another 15, 20 times, and they came up the middle every time. Why? Because they were having success. Why would you stop?
Yeah.
And then we kept shutting it down and shutting it down and shutting it down.
Oh, this conversation is on the sideline. This is
on the sideline.
This is on the sideline. Okay.
Well, yeah.
I'm thinking this is in film after.
No, you're making adjustments. Yeah. This is on the sidelines. I had three more fucking quarters to play. You think we wanted them to rush for 4,000 fucking yards in one game?
355. So the Dolphins weren't doing that, is what you're saying.
So,
Denver wasn't doing that.
I'm sure they were doing it, but you've got to be able to understand what your coach is telling me. He explained it to me, and I did. And I hunkered down, and Joel was trying to influence me, and then before he could herk me over, I herked him over, and I was in the hole.
Yeah.
And then we shut him down after that. I mean, it was substantial. To the point where they ended up giving me a game ball. I didn't get the game ball for the first quarter. I got it for the final three quarters for being able to make the adjustment.
Right.
And what did? We found a way to win 19-17.
Mm.
We didn't blow them out of the water. We didn't kick the living shit out of them. Sterling Sharp ends up getting behind their defensive backfield. He ends up catching the ball, puts us in field goal chance. Chris Jackie comes out and makes the field. Game over.
Yeah.
That's it. That's how you win the game.
Learning to win.
Learning to win.
Learning to win.
And those are adjustments that are being made the whole day. We played the L.A. Rams one time, and they had Bettis as the running back. This is early in the 90s when he had graduated. So 92 maybe.
Okay.
He's with the Rams before he comes to Pittsburgh.
Right.
And they come out with something on film, and they do a F-short motion from the fullback is lined up in the eye, and they go to a brown eye, which is called we call weak eye. And out of that, they ran a draw play. We'd never seen it. And I'm like, what the hell was that? It was the weirdest motion you saw because it happened right in front of you.
Right, yeah.
So they come out, and the next time, and I start screaming, draw, draw, draw. And they ran it. That time, we adjusted. We made the play. And the next time they ran it, I called draw, 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 and we made the play also. Because, you know, it's a little bit of a passing, longer yardage situation. But they had noticed something with our defense, and they were trying to exploit something, maybe a little bit of flaw in our defense. But if you recognize what was happening and you communicated with your teammates, good things started to happen.
Yeah.
You can't over-communicate
on the defensive side of the ball. Everybody needs to be on the same page. Everybody needs to get it. And if you can give somebody a little bit of help because of formation and because maybe motion will tell you something like the protective motion,
yeah,
then you know. So protective motion is the great one. The wide receiver comes, slows down behind the guard, gets right behind the tackle, and his job is simply to get in front of the defensive end, not right. to really block him. We call that protective motion. Now, off that protective motion, they can run a pass action off that too. But usually what that meant to me was the center was blocking back and I was going to get ear-holed by the guard. So I knew
It's coming.
That it's coming, and I looked at the opposite guard, and if he's sitting light, then I know he's coming back this way. So we got a down-down scheme going on. So, you know, there's certain things that can tell you, and when you see it, communicate with your people. Counter, counter, counter. The minute I saw that, counter, counter, counter. Now they know we see counter, counter, counter. That's when they want to pop the bootleg pass on us after that. But as long as the guy in the end is getting up the field and being patient, then we're in pretty good shape.
That's what, you know, Lance talked about with this Bears defense. He was like, they don't talk.
Yeah.
They're quiet. Are you kind of seeing the same thing?
No. Like I said, I was only at one practice and I can't hear what, the parabolic mic, whether it's picking up them communicating with each other or not. That's up to them on the field.
Okay.
I mean, I sat first row against the New England Patriots in 2018. When the Patriots were in town, Tom Brady and them, they beat the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
Corduroy had a punt return.
Brady juked him? This is later.
This is in Chicago.
Soldier Field. All right. Okay.
The juke to Urlacher happened over there. It's 2018 when Trubisky had the
ball. Oh, okay. All right. I'm with you. Yep.
Brady still won. Corduroy Patterson was with New England, and Corduroy ran one back for a touchdown. It's my guy.
Corduroy. I love Cordero.
Big Pearl Stockton.
You know, Dick Stockton, every black guy with dreadlocks was Cordero Patterson for 5 years. I was like, Cordero Patterson on the catch. No, that's not Cordero.
Yeah, he lost his fastball. Laquan Treadwell.
That's finished.
Crete Monee guy, by the way. Do you know that, right?
You said what?
Laquan Treadwell. Crete Monee guy. He went to Crete.
Oh, okay.
He went to the University of Mississippi.
I did not.
Played for the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah. Crete Monee guy.
I was gonna ask you about some college because our head coach coming in here that we're playing against has something in common with you. A couple of EIU guys here. Did you guys overlap at all?
Oh, overlap. He's my quarterback.
He was your quarterback.
85-86. He was my quarterback down there. We were winning.
What's your best Peyton story?
Oh well, he used to. Sean had a Sean Pat Carroll. Oh God, I'm gonna not remember my other quarterback's name, and he was fantastic. He went to Carmel. Not Mount Carmel here, Carmel way down south. Yeah. Not the Carmel and Munden line. He's from way down south. Rafferty, John Rafferty. They all had a house together. And they had the sign up on the thing said the Club Babalu. And the Club Babalu was from I Love Lucy, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Where Ricky performed. And our parties would be at their house after the football game. So we'd all go to the Club Babalu. And he was a sick guy. Right. It's very popular on campus. Big man on campus. Yeah. And just being at parties, having a good time. But he was the hostess with the mostess. You know what I'm saying?
Sean was the man.
Those were Sean parties. Was Sean was the man at EIU. Yes, he ran the roost. That's what he did.
It
was a good time. But we ran offense that was very simplistic. Al Moldy, who ended up coaching at Western Michigan for a long time. He was our head coach and he ran our offense. If they came out in cover three, we ran slants.
Right.
I mean, we were running 3-4 wides with, kind of not a tight end, kind of a tweener tight end, because we couldn't really get a 240-pound monster.
Yeah.
We played against Eric Green at Liberty Baptist University, and now he's become Liberty Baptist. He's the tight end drafted in the first round by the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's like the legitimate tight end that I played in college football that was like, who is this dude? Where did he come from? And how did he end up at Liberty? You know, all those mysterious questions that you had to ask yourself. But if it was cover three, we ran slants. So it was cover two, we ran fades. And that was it.
Yeah.
That was our offense. And then every once in a while, Dwayne Pitts out of he came from us from Detroit. And we call him Daddy O. Dwayne Pitts, Daddy O. We'd hand Daddy O the ball. And we had a youngster out here, James Marble, who's from the city. And we'd hand him the ball. Those are our two running backs. We had Derek Wilhelm at tight end. Our Roy Banks was one of our wide receivers. I mean, Roy got drafted by the Buffalo Bills, but we had some bad dudes on our team.
Yeah.
And Sean Payton at one point was top 10 quarterback passing yardage, 10,655 yards. So our offense was something to behold at the 1AA level. We played. And we went to playoffs my sophomore year, I believe, we went to the playoffs. We were 6-5 my freshman year, my sophomore year. We went to the playoffs, and I think we lost that. Maybe Eastern Kentucky got the better of us. But Sean was a player, man. He could ball.
Does he lead at EIU? Is he the leading passer at EIU?
Tony Romo came in and did that.
Tony Romo broke it. That's right.
Yeah, so Romo.
Do it. You got good right. blood down there
so,
at EIU.
So Romo came in, and then I don't know how many years Jimmy Garoppolo had. So Jimmy G came in after Tony.
Yeah.
So you're looking at 10 years after Tony, Jimmy G came in, and Sean graduated in 87. So 87, I think Tony came out in 2000, 2001.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Garoppolo came out in like 2013 or 2014, maybe 2015. I don't know. I'm trying to remember.
I feel like it was before that, honestly. Because he sat, what, 3 years before he ever saw the field,
right.
something like that?
Well, it was 4 years in New England. It was 4 years in San Francisco.
San Francisco.
And now this is his first year. So it's either either 4-4-1 or 4-5-1. So it's either one of those.
You're right, 4-5-1. Because remember the first year,
remember,
San Fran, he was dead.
Sean was a strike bear.
Yeah.
Him and Mike Hohensee were the two quarterbacks. And Mike Hohensee was the coach of the Chicago Rush back in the day.
Oh.
The Arena Football League team.
It all connects.
Yeah, yeah.
It all connects.
And I had done the Chicago Rush games. Oh, yeah. Colorado Crush, Chicago Rush, Orlando Predators, Tampa Bay. I forget what Tampa Bay's team was even. We were at Indianapolis. We were down there at New York. I did a game at the Nassau Coliseum. I mean, we traveled San Jose, Arizona.
Yeah, yeah,
it was great. You know, I was a young announcer. I'd done some games for Fox. It didn't work out. You know, I did a relaxed rookie year against the Atlanta Falcons when Philip Daniels forced a fumble. Urlacher picked the ball up and ran back
and took it back. Yeah.
I did the color commentary on that game.
Got to go find that.
Yeah.
Got to go find that call. Y'all be on the lookout for that. All right, we got to let Yurko go. He's got like a radio show or
something
to do. A little something to do. But a great episode. Listen, Flus, if you're watching, please be watching. Do what he said. Fix the defense so we can get these numbers better.
Oh.
What's your prediction?
And I'm going mushroom picking.
You going what?
Mushroom picking today. Mushrooms.
Like
hen of the woods. I'm going to have you look it up. You can tell everybody what it looks like.
Wait a minute.
Hen of the woods.
Wait a minute. Like
hen of the woods. Mushrooms.
Like mushrooms.
Mushrooms.
Okay. All right.
Hey. Not the psychedelics.
No, that's why I was confused.
No.
You guys stay safe out there, Chicago. I don't
mushrooms.
Know if legally we can put that out there.
No, we can't. Hen of the woods. Look it up.
Y'all stay safe out there. Bear down before we go. Prediction for this game.
If the Bears are going to win a game this season, this has got to be the one. So I've got the Bears winning this game 24-17.
I got 21-17. I think we're right in line there. Yeah. Two rushing touchdowns and a Justin Fields pass. Hopefully no interception. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. Let's get a win. Peace.